Why do wealthy people buy so much life insurance? I'll address that next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations, that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Folks, you may be aware that I have a YouTube channel. It's free when you subscribe. It's called Three Dimensional Wealth, the number three. And I post almost on a daily basis an in-depth answer to a financial question. And recently I answered the question, why do wealthy people buy so much life insurance, especially later in life? That seems to go against what so many buy-term invest-the-difference proponents talk about, that you buy term insurance to cover yourself in the event of an untimely death. A premature death is what we usually call it in the insurance industry, so that if you happen to pass away, you leave behind resources, life insurance, death benefits, that will help your spouse, your children, your grandchildren be able to have the dreams fulfilled, maybe a college education or whatever, that you hope to have provided had you stayed around, okay? But when you invest the difference, hopefully you're accumulating enough money, is what they say, that after 25 or 30 years, you now have the money, so you don't need the life insurance anymore. And you can sort of self-insure. Why would you pay for insurance if you have the money? And they get very perplexed when these mega wealthy people are buying more life insurance in their 60s, 70s, and even sometimes early 80s than they ever purchased before. And it's like they don't need the death benefit to replace money that they have, except if they're going to be taxed to death when they pass away because of the estate or the inheritance tax. But what is it that these wealthy people know that maybe you don't know? Okay. Well, I would submit that most self-made millionaires understand how money works. And they became wealthy by understanding these principles. I'm going to super simplify. They understand three marvels or miracles of wealth accumulation. The first one is compound interest. And a lot of people think they have a good handle on what compound interest is until I do a little exercise where I pass out an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, copy paper, 26-pound copy paper, which is 5/1000ths of an inch thick. And I say, okay, fold the sheet of paper in half. Now fold it in half again. Now, you can't do this because of the folds, but imagine if you could fold that sheet of paper in half 48 more times, a total of 50 times. And I ask my audiences, which are comprised oft times of CPAs and tax attorneys that work with numbers daily, how thick do you think this stack of paper would be if you could fold over this sheet of paper 48 more times, a total of 50 times, in some form of measurement, millimeters, inches, yards, miles, whatever. And they write down 3/8 of an inch, 5/8 of an inch, 3/4 of an inch. Sometimes they say 6 inches. Once in a while, somebody will say a mile and they get laughed out of the room. And I go, okay, I thought you understood compound interest. What's this doing every time you fold the sheet of paper in half? It's doubling. Double, double, double. If you folded a sheet of copy paper in half 20 times, it would be 1,048,000 times thicker. If you folded it over 42 times, it would be here to the moon. If you folded it over 50 times, it would be from here to the sun, 93 million miles high. If you folded it over 51, one more time, it would be from here to the sun and back. That's compound interest. Now, wealthy people understand the magic of compound interest, but they also know the difference between tax-free accumulation and tax-deferred accumulation versus taxed as earned. If you had a dollar doubling 20 times, it will be worth $1 million. if it's tax-free. If it's tax-deferred after paying tax on it, if it's a tax-deferred IRA or 401k, that $1 million is only really worth about $650,000. But if you pay tax every year as you go, which is the most common way Americans save in banks and credit unions and annually taxed mutual fund dividends, capital gains, a dollar doubling to $2, you pay tax on that in a 25% bracket. You only have $1.75. $1.75 the second year doubles to $3.50 in the third year. You pay tax on that. Instead of $1 million, you'll only have $72,000. In a 33% bracket, you'll only have $27,000 instead of $1 million. So tax-free accumulation is the second miracle. Wealthy people understand that. The third marvel or miracle many people do not understand, it's called safe positive leverage. I'll simplify it by saying it's the ability to own and control assets with very little or none of your money tied up or at risk in that asset. See, banks operate this way. A bank will borrow OPM, other people's money. Now, folks, there are only four things you can really do with money. Spend it, lend it, own with it, or give it away. Now, when you put money into a bank, a credit union, even an insurance institution, it's in a lended position. You are loaning them your money. Are they just a benevolent institution paying you interest? They don't put your money in some vault. They are either loaning it back out again to people at a higher interest rate, or they're investing it. And so they are taking your money and leveraging it. So, for example, recently banks have paid only about 1% interest. And so every $1 million that we lend them by depositing money into a bank, they pay $10,000 a year in interest, 1% interest. They turn around and they loan it back again at 5%. How much more is 5 than 1? Don't say 4. It is 500% more. In other words, every time they borrow and pay interest of $10,000, they turn it into $50,000. Would you hire an employee for $10,000 that made you an extra $50,000? Yeah. Would you buy a widget machine for $10,000 that made you an extra $50,000? That's called a 500% return on employment cost or equipment cost. So see, these banks and credit unions, they use safe positive leverage. They borrow money at a lower rate, and oftentimes they then turn around and make five times that or more and increase the safety. Many times banks and credit unions will put their tier one assets into insurance companies and earn 5%. So wealthy people understand these three marvels or miracles: compound interest, tax-free accumulation, and also safe positive leverage. Now, why would people like Walt Disney, Ray Kroc, who started McDonald's, and J.C. Penney, even David Walker, who was the Comptroller General when the Obama administration came in, that resigned because he wasn't allowed to warn America how close we were to a total financial collapse? Why did they all own so much life insurance? It's because they were using it not just for death benefit. They were using the tax-free accumulation living benefits of life insurance, where you can put money into a life insurance contract and you can pay the minimum amount, like buy term and invest the difference, or do what E.F. Hutton recommended. They weren't an insurance company. They were a brokerage firm. They were credited with being the brainchild behind the emergence of universal life, which was actually designed to be used primarily for living benefits. To be able to put in a ton of money, take the least amount of insurance the IRS will let you get away with, put in the most money the IRS allows as fast as they allow, in compliance with three tax citations and under three sections of the Internal Revenue Code, your money accumulates tax-free, Section 72E. You can then access money tax-free and take income out. Every $1 million can generate like $100,000 a year of tax-free income, which it has for many of our clients for years, a 10% payout tax-free. Why is it tax-free? Because the insurance contract is allowed to do that under Section 7702 of the Internal Revenue Code. And when you ultimately die, then whatever's left in the account blossoms and transfers tax-free. So, in a nutshell, why do wealthy people buy so much life insurance? Why would you take millions of dollars and leave it in some investment where it only generates maybe 4 or 5% payout in the market? Why would you generate on every $1 million, $40,000 a year of income when you could generate $80,000 to $100,000? Why, at the end of the day, would you leave behind $1 million when you could leave behind $2.5 million tax-free when you die? And people go, what did you just say? I say, why would you generate X amount of income when you could generate double or triple X? And when you ultimately pass away, why would you leave behind X amount of money when you can leave behind 2 or 3X when you die? And people say, well, how much does that cost? It doesn't cost you anything. It makes you money. This is the beauty behind insurance structured for living benefits.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
What is the smartest way to access cash out of an IUL? Now, that means Indexed Universal Life, one of my favorite vehicles. This is Doug Andrew. Welcome back to Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the previous segment, I was talking about why wealthy people buy so much life insurance, especially later in life, because they have the money. It's because they want to protect their money. They want to increase the rate of return and have it generate tax-free income and growth. And when they ultimately pass away, it blossoms and leaves behind double and triple the amount to their heirs or their charities, whoever they want to bless, okay? Now, let's continue on with why people like Walt Disney, Ray Kroc, who was the originator of McDonald's, and JCPenney, why did they own life insurance? Why was that so significant? Because they actually use the tax-free access to those insurance policies in order to save Disneyland when it was in trouble. And the whole blessing of having Disneyland for our children and grandchildren actually is because Disney, when he was really hurting, used his cash out of his insurance policy to save and continue that dream. Same thing with McDonald's. Same thing with JCPenney. David Walker, the Comptroller General that resigned under the Obama administration in 2008 because he was not allowed to tell Americans how much trouble we were really in, he went around on a speaking circuit and talked about the merits of using life insurance, especially indexed universal life, which is my favorite vehicle, to accumulate your money tax-free and safely, then be able to access your money tax-free when you need it. And you don't have to wait until after age 59 and a half or any of that. This is not an IRA 401k type of a qualified plan. I don't like those. They have too many strings attached like that. And then ultimately, when you pass away, whatever you leave behind will have the ability to blossom or increase and transfer tax-free. Plus, it's one of the safest places to deposit money. It's one of the last dominoes that would fall if we had a total financial collapse in this country. So let's go back to what wealthy people do when they own max-funded insurance policies. How do they access money? So when you maximum fund my favorite financial vehicle, an indexed universal life insurance contract, primarily for living benefits, tax-free accumulation, access, and transferability, I choose that instrument because it passes the liquidity test with flying colors, the safety test, rate of return. I usually get average rates of return between 7 to 10%. But some years, like this year, we've had many people lock in gains of 28.8%, 32.2%, 61.33% this very year. And so when they want to access money out of an insurance policy, they do it the smart way. Well, let me explain that one by eliminating the other two ways. Now, there's actually three ways to access money out of an insurance contract: the sad way, the dumb way, and the smart way. Now, the sad way is by dying. It's one heck of a return. I mean, you put in even $1,000 on a brand new insurance policy, and if you happen to die in an accident, they may pay out $1 million or $2 million. That's one heck of a return, but I don't recommend that one. The second method is the dumb way. Many people do not understand that when you put money in most investments and you start taking out money, it's taxed generally LIFO. That's last in, first out. For example, if you put $500,000 into an annuity and you immediately started taking income, let's say the annuity is crediting you 10%, you put in $500,000, you could pull out $50,000 a year, and if you do that, that $50,000 a year of income is taxed 100% because you are taking the last money you're earning, your interest, out first. Life insurance, though, has a big benefit. Because if you start accessing money, let's use the same example, because I've actually averaged a little over 10% net cash on cash rates of return. I've had many clients put in $500,000 and be able to take out $50,000 a year tax free, especially starting way back in 1980 when this idea first came out. And so if you put in $500,000 and let's say the rate of return is 10%, you start pulling out $50,000, but the IRS says, well, that's FIFO taxed, first in, first out. The first 10 years you're pulling out $50,000 is just recovering your basis, and you've already paid tax on that, so it's tax-free. Now, after you've recovered your basis, the dumb thing would be to keep withdrawing your money because now you're going to have to pay tax on the gain, but the interest is coming out last. Smart people do this. They use loans. And you wouldn't believe how many financial advisors do not understand this. So listen close. If I go into a bank and I have $1 million on deposit in the bank, I can either withdraw my money or maybe the bank will loan me the equivalent of money I have on deposit with them because they have my collateral. The problem is the bank will loan you money at 5%, but they only credit you maybe 1%. That would be dumb. But with an insurance company, you can go borrow your money or the equivalent of your interest if you don't want to deplete principal. And the collateral is your money there, and they keep crediting you interest on the collateral, the cash you did not, quote, withdraw. You borrowed against it. So what does that mean? Listen close to this. Let's say that you have $1 million accumulated into a max funded insurance contract and you're retiring. And for the sake of simplicity, let's say you're earning a net of 10%. So you could pull out $100,000 a year. Now, it's tax-free. If you borrow $100,000 using the $1 million policy as collateral, and they only really need $100,000 of the million to collateralize that because you're changing the nomenclature. In fact, the IRS says just change what you're calling it. You're calling it a loan. Why would they tell you to do that? Because loan proceeds are not taxable. When you borrow money for a house or a car or whatever, you don't have to pay tax on that. That's not income. You borrowed it. Loan proceeds are not deemed earned passive or portfolio income. Those are the only three types of income you pay income tax on. So if I borrow $100,000 out, the insurance company says, okay, it's tax-free, and we'll charge you a nominal interest rate, so it really qualifies as a true loan with the IRS, and that might be 2%, but they'll earmark $100,000 of that million, the interest that you earned that year, and they'll say, okay, the interest you're earning of 10%, we will credit you 2% on that, and that's called a zero-wash loan. So they're charging you 2% on that 100. They're crediting you 2% on the 100,000 that you left in there instead of withdrawing it the dumb way. And it's a zero wash loan. And you can do that for 20, 30 years until you die. This loan is what I call a phantom loan. It's not due and payable during your lifetime. It doesn't mean you can't pay it back. I've had people who have taken out tax-free income, $100,000 a year for 20 years. They have this phantom loan balance of $2 million. It's not due and payable during your lifetime. It's washed away when you die by the death benefit, which is staying ahead of the loan balance, okay? In a nutshell, what happens is if you got a windfall of money, sometimes people come and say, golly, Doug, I wish I could put this into a tax-free vehicle like this, but I'm too old now to qualify. And I say, I've got good news. You don't have to pay back the loan, but you can. The IRS calls it a loan repayment. The insurance company says, oh, it's new money. Another $2 million's coming in, and you hit the ground running. But I've actually had clients who use the Smart Way, which is an index loan. So here we go. In 2017, I have a client. He's a real estate guru. He borrowed $1 million out of his indexed universal life, and he opted to be charged 5%. Why? Because he's doing an index loan. That means the full $1 million that he left in the company as collateral is being credited with the indexed rate. And in 2017, he got credited 25%, tax-free. He made $250,000. They subtracted the $50,000 of interest. He netted 20% or $200,000 tax-free on his million while he was using $1 million out of his policy by borrowing it to buy real estate investments.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.